You are listening to Proof Text, a Glossa House podcast exploring scripture and all things related to it. New episodes are released daily. For more information, check out glossahouse.com and subscribe to our channels on Spotify and YouTube. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Proof Text. I am Michael Halcombe and here with my buddy J.M. Smith of the Disciple Dojo. And J.M., how are things going over at the dojo?
They are chugging along, man. We keep growing and keep getting good guests willing to come on and chat about stuff, which is always cool. And so, yeah, I can't complain. It keeps me busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun to watch you continue to grow that thing. And yeah, good stuff. Head over to discipledojo.org and check out all the great stuff there. Well, this is 10 questions, and all around my house I have a guy weed eating, I have loud cars, I have a dog playing with the chew toy. So you hear noises.
That's real life, yeah, man. That's real life.
That's right. This is 10 questions where JM and I look at a random Bible verse. Literally, I use the random Bible verse generator to pick a verse. And we ask 10 questions. We each get 5, no answers. The verse we're going to look at in this episode is, I don't think we've looked at this one yet, but it's Galatians 5:12. So this is a really fun verse. And if you're watching, I'm gonna put the text up on the screen. There's the English, the NIV with the SBL GNT, the Greek New Testament. And I'll read this for y'all. It says, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. This is interesting. What an interesting verse.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm seeing some interesting things here already. But do you want to lead off with question number one, or do you want me to?
I'll go with question number one for this one. And I want to know why, the verb apokatsuntai. Why is that? Does that mean castrate, or does that mean excommunicate? I've heard this verse taught two ways.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I want to know what does that verb mean in other contexts?
Okay. I'm going to ask a related or similar question. If it doesn't mean, did you say castrate? Is that the word you used?
That's New Revised has castrate, NIV has emasculate.
So if it doesn't mean emasculate or castrate or excommunicate, does it just mean to cut off? And if so, does this understanding and translating it that way open up a lot of links to other sections of the letter where you have the language of cutting going on? If it's cutting, is it cutting? And does, if so, is that a preferred choice because it might open up other avenues for understanding different parts of the letter? That's kind of like almost like a hidden answer inside of a question there. Breaking the rules.
Well, This whole verse brings up so many questions.
Yeah. Okay, so we both got one under the belt, pun intended. All right.
My next question. So I'm starting at questions about the words and then moving outwards to context. Mm-hmm. So I still have a question about the words, and that is the next word, anastatuntes. What does that mean? Like, what is the mm-hmm. agitators, you know, to agitate, to subvert, to overthrow? What's happening to the people, or what are they doing? The ones that are, he's wishing that they were cut off or emasculated mm-hmm. or whatever it is. So yeah, there's two words in here, and I want to know, I mean, all the other words I think are fairly easy, but those two words, I would just start with, what do they mean at the literal level?
Yeah, very good. So what I think is interesting too is here you have anastatundes, but back in Galatians 1, and I'm going to flip over there just so people can see, early on in Galatians, he uses a different word of them, and he calls them euterasondes, imas, euterasondes. And there, that is translated in the NIV as the ones throwing you into confusion. I think it's interesting. Why does he call them euterasondes here, but euanastatundes in Galatians 6? Yeah, why not use the same word? And what are the connotations of two different words? Or are they related somehow?
Hmm.
Yeah.
My third question is, well, then now I'd back up to context.
What verse were 12, we at? Sorry.
5:12.
Oh, 5:12. I was looking at 6. Yeah. I was like, man, I'm going crazy here. Okay. 5:12.
Yeah. My third question would be context question. Who is the you that's being talked about? Is it, because Galatians is, well, my question I'm asking is, Galatia is a region, to my knowledge, and again, I'm an Old Testament guy more than New Testament, but I think Galatia is a region rather than a city. And so the Galatians would be like multiple churches rather than like one church. So is he writing to all the Christians in that area? Is it to a particular church and the members of that church? You know, how broad is this audience? How mm-hmm. widespread was this problem of these agitators?
Very good. The third question for me is, who are the agitators? They're the ones, you anastatundes. Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
Can we know? It would seem that, you know, it's possible there's some clues early on, but who are they? That's yeah. important to know.
My fourth question would be, how rhetorical is Paul being here? Like, how tongue-in-cheek is he being with this? Does he literally wish this? Or is he making, like, is he using rhetoric? Like, is he intentionally exaggerating or intentionally being over the top, hyperbolic, using a wordplay, mm-hmm. possibly?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my question.
Yes. That's a really interesting question, because just a few verses later, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. Doesn't seem to be very kind there when he's saying that. And just a few verses after that, in 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Telling some people you wish they had emasculate or castrate themselves does not seem kind or a gentle restoration. So what is going on rhetorically here? How can he speak so vividly at this point in the next couple breaths, speak so gently and kindly?
Right. My last question would be I'm trying to think of how I want to ask this, because it's a variation of what was just asked, but how are we supposed to relate the language of cutting off, however we translate it, with is he punning on circumcision? Like, circumcision is cutting off. So that wouldn't be an example. I was going to say, is this an example of Kal Vayomer? Like, if this, how much more this? But that's not quite it. But it's like, circumcision is cutting off a little bit. And he's like, I wish they cut everything off.
The whole way. So I mean, there's a whole bunch of translation issues here. I don't see, so in English it has so I'm gonna go to my last question. They would go the whole way? That is nowhere in the text.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that is nowhere in the Greek. I wish also, right, they would cut. They would cut off. And really, you almost want like an M dash right here or something. But I wish also the ones standing over you, or however you want to translate this, the ones doing this. Now, here's my fifth question, what it was going to be. We have an imas, which is a plural accusative y'all, right? So they're the objects. So literally, it's the ones doing something to y'all, right? So I wish also the ones doing something to y'all would cut off. Now, we're missing the imas in the translation. It might be the ones agitating y'all. Maybe you translate it that way, but the object, the plural object, is nowhere found in the verse at all. Why in the translation? Why not?
Yeah. Can you pull up King James on your end?
Yeah.
Can you pull up King James?
Yep.
Look how it renders it.
I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Yeah, that's very wordy. It actually, I think, does a better job at getting the point across.
It's such a huge difference between, I mean, I don't say huge, but it just shows like these translation questions that we ask are questions that the translators, I feel like, were asking as well. And taking very different approaches.
One I like to look at often, if I'm like really, really wrestling with a verse, is Young's literal translation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at how he renders it. Well, he's got "oh that." The verse certainly doesn't say that. Even they would cut themselves off who are unsettling you. And that, I think, is the best one yet. Even though we don't have "oh that," it really should be "I wish that," or "I wish they would cut themselves off the ones unsettling you."
Yeah.
That's how I think I would translate it. I wish also they would cut themselves off the ones unsettling y'all.
Is that this is not a question that I would ask. I've already used my five. This is a question I'm asking you. Is that a reflexive, is the verb reflexive? cut themselves off, or is it be cut off?
It's a middle form. It doesn't have to be reflexive. Okay. So when I talk about middle verbs, mm-hmm. I think of it like if you were to just tap that word, like a drop down list of options for how the verb might be functioning would appear. So you have like reflexive, reciprocal, like there would be a list of like a dozen ways that a middle can function, including passive. I don't think there's a such thing as a passive voice in the Greek personally. And I think most scholars are moving that way, or a lot of scholars are moving that way, but rather that passive voice is just a drop down option of middle voice.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So here, I think this is how it works. I wish also they would cut themselves off, the ones unsettling y'all.
That's a good thing. I mean, that's a good little rabbit trail to go down, especially for viewers that don't have Greek, or have a little bit of Greek like me, is to see just how, because otherwise they might think, oh, the translators are just going with what they want, instead of, like you're saying, there is a legitimate range of ways you can handle middle verbs. Like it's legitimate. It's not just, I think a lot of times that's what I hear from people, is they just don't trust translations other than whichever one they prefer. And they think that there's that kind of thing going on. Like, oh, you're just making stuff up. Yeah. Or so I think that's a really helpful little side trail to go on.
Absolutely. I think in Greek studies, we were moving away from the idea of a middle voice and a passive voice and an active voice, rather to just an active and a middle voice. And the middle voice has a bunch of drop down options. And so now linguistically, we're starting to talk about, rather than middle and passive, subject affectedness in the middle. And how is the subject being affected? And I think this is the right way to talk about it. These are very different English translations when you compare these three.
Yeah.
I mean, very different.
Yeah.
Like agitators doesn't appear in KJV or YLT. Whole way doesn't appear in KJV or YLT. Emasculate doesn't appear in KJV or YLT. Right. Cut does appear in KJV and YLT, which should be a signal. But then you also have trouble, and then unsettling. So it's really important that for people who don't know Greek, they really look closely, I think you're right, at these different translations. Good stuff. Fun times. What a cool verse.
That's a lot, I'm glad that wasn't a small verse.
Glad that wasn't written about me. So well, friends, we're gonna stop there. Before we do, let me say go check out DiscipleDojo.org. Check out JM's YouTube page, the Disciple Dojo YouTube page. Check out GlosaHouse.com and the Glosa House YouTube page. We're trying to grow slowly. We'll see how it goes. But got a lot of good stuff over there. Around 1,000, more than 1,000 videos, actually.
That's awesome.
Maybe not 1,000 yet. If you look at Spotify plus YouTube, because we got into YouTube late. It's only been a year. So anyways, lots over there. Lots of free stuff on both channels, is my point.
Yeah. We gave you a shout out in the live stream last night, because somebody was asking about where do I go to learn languages? And I was like, here's a couple of resources, and plug Glossa House for sure. So
folks,
go check it out.
I'm teaching Greek right now with, I have a guy in Canada.
Is his name Jesse? Is a guy named Jesse?
Jesse,
somebody Warhol, said, is that your thing? Somebody on the live stream, they said Michael and Jesse do a great job with conversational coin or something like that. And I was like, oh, I don't know Jesse, but Michael's like, so it might have been an older series you did, but yeah, there were Glossa House listeners.
Yeah, nice. Jesse and I know we've sent a lot of our listeners your way. I'm probably all of them. I think probably all of our people are following you at this point.
I think there's some good cross-pollination.
Yeah, for sure. Me and Jesse do a weekly segment on Proof Tech together, where we Right now, we're working through Jonah. We just look at one verse at a time, and we discuss it in Koine for about a half hour.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what it, what it was referring to. Yeah.
But I am teaching a Greek class through Glossa House right now. I have a student in Canada. It's not Jesse. And then I have a student in New Zealand. I have a student in Tennessee. I have a student in Korea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, where's the other one? I'm in Hawaii. There's two more, but they're all over the place. It's really cool, small global community. But,
every hemisphere is covered.
Yeah, appreciate you throwing that out there. But we'll stop here, and thank you all for watching. Subscribe, like, whatever you got to do. We'll say we hope that helps.
Interested in growing your ancient language skills but not sure where to start? Glossa House can help. From illustrated readers and short stories to lexicons and grammars, Glossa House offers a variety of resources for beginning, intermediate, and experienced ancient language learners. Head to glossahouse.com today. Glossa House, language resources for the global community.